Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. If everyone can please take a seat, we're going to start the hearing. Welcome and good evening. This public hearing is now in session. My name is Stephen Jogill, and I'm the acting public hearing officer for the United States Environmental Protection Agency Region 9 in San Francisco, California, and I will be the presiding officer for today's hearing. The purpose of today's hearing is to accept public comment on the Environmental Protection Agency's proposed Clean Air Act prevention of significant deterioration, and I will be referring to that phrase as PSD, permit for the Morro Bay Power Plant Modernization Project. Under the proposed PSD permit, LSP Morro Bay LLC will, number one, replace four existing 1950 to 1960s era fossil fuel fired electric utility steam generators with two combined cycle natural gas fired turbine block units. Number two, replace three existing 450 foot exhaust stacks with two 145 foot stacks to comply with good engineering practices. And number three, will remove the existing fossil fuel tanks. With me tonight are Gerardo Rios, Anita Lee, and Leslie Ramirez, who is our timekeeper up here, of the EPA Region 9 Air Division, Carol Bonenkamp from EPA's Air Technical Services Office, and Wendy Chavez from EPA's Office of Public Affairs. Before we begin accepting comments, I would like to describe the procedures for tonight's proceeding. Thereafter, we will receive public comments in the order of the speaker sign-up cards in the order that they were received. I would like to go over the ground rules for today's public hearing. This hearing is a formal legal proceeding. Public notice of this hearing was made by publication in the Morro Bay Sun Bulletin, the St. Louis Obispo Tribune, and the Bay News. Public notice was also posted on EPA's website. The audio from this hearing will be tape recorded, and a court reporter, whom you see to your, well, to your right, will be transcribing a verbatim recording during this hearing. If you present oral comments at today's hearing, please speak clearly and slowly so that the court reporter can understand you and record your comments accurately. I also ask that you refrain from interrupting other speakers or asking any questions during their presentations. And the purpose for that is that this simple courtesy helps the court reporter to listen to one person individually for accuracy's sake, so that she doesn't have to try to record voices that are being spoken over each other. Please note that you will have the opportunity to make comments shortly. Once we begin the public comment portion of this hearing, we realize that this is a complex issue, so informational materials are available at the sign-up tables in the lobby. I don't see any here right now, but in case there are any people who show up with banners and posters, they will be allowed to be placed in the rear of the room. However, banners and posters that are attached to a stick will not be allowed in the hearing room. If you wish to carry a banner or poster to your seat, you'll be asked to sit in the rear of the hearing room so that others behind you can have a clear view of the stage here. Any sign or banner may be excluded from this hearing if it is determined to be disruptive to the conduct of the hearing. I'd also like to mention that there's, as you walked in, you noticed that there was a registration table located in the lobby. You don't need to register to be present here at the hearing. However, if you would like to make oral comments at today's hearing, please fill out a green speaker card, which you can see here. I will be calling individual speakers based upon the order that they submitted their speaker cards. If you would like to receive direct notification of EPA's final decision on the proposed permit, please sign in one of the sign-in sheets located in the registration table. And I know Carol and Anita are back there, and they can assist you with any of those forms that you may need. If you don't wish to speak tonight, you can also submit written comments for the official record. Written comments and oral comments will receive equal consideration by the EPA in making a final permit decision. There is a box at the registration table for submitting written comments. If you'd like to write comments while you are here today, a form for that purpose is available also at the registration table in the lobby. If you have submitted written comments, it is not necessary for you to give oral comments as well. If you submit by comments by U.S. mail, written comments must be postmarked on or before October 30th, 2006. Excuse me. Comments submitted by email may be sent to the attention of Mark Sims, and I'd like to provide you with Mr. Sims' mailing address, his fax number, and his email address. For the purposes of mailing in comments, you would address them to Mark Sims, Air Division, open paren, capital AIR-5, close paren, U.S. EPA Region 9, 75 Hawthorne Street, San Francisco, California, 94105-3901. Comments that you would like to fax into the EPA can be faxed at area code 415-947-3579. And if you would like to submit your comments via email, they should be sent to R, as in the letter R, 9, the numeral 9, air permits, all one word, R9 air permits at epa.gov. And again, those need to be submitted by October 30th, 2006. The oral comments received at this hearing and all written comments received by the end of this comment period will be considered by the EPA in making the final permit decision. EPA decisions on Clean Air Act permits are typically made with the participation of a number of people within the organization. EPA staff cannot comment to any specific decision related to the proposed permit today. The purpose of this hearing is to listen to comments, so we will not be providing responses during this hearing. Rather, EPA will prepare a written summary of the comments and EPA's responses. The response to comments will accompany the final permit decision. EPA will not make a decision on the proposed permit until all comments have been considered. EPA's notice of the final decision on the permit, along with the response to comments, will be sent to each person who has submitted written comments or who has signed up at the registration table to receive notice and provide an email or postal address. This information will also be available on EPA's website. A copy of today's transcript of today's hearing will also be available for inspection at EPA's office in San Francisco. If you wish to purchase an official copy of the transcript, please make arrangements directly with the court reporter following the hearing. We also intend to make this available on EPA's website. When EPA issues a permit, it becomes effective 30 days after notice of the decision. However, EPA's final decisions are reviewable by the Environmental Appeals Board, the regulations of which are found at 40 CFR Part 124. Permits to review must be filed within 30 days of the decision. In a few minutes, I will begin calling speakers. Speakers will be called in groups of five in the order that they presented their cards. When I call your name, please come forward. And then you can see there are five chairs to your left over here. As I call your name, the chair closest to the podium is chair number one. So if people can fill in the chairs from one to five, I'd appreciate that. And then I will be calling individuals to come up to the podium and provide comments. In order to give everyone who wishes to speak during this hearing a chance to do so, I ask that everyone who speaks please make your oral comments brief, as this hearing is only scheduled for 3 hours. To assist in this effort, I am asking the speakers to limit their comments to 3 minutes. If you have lengthier comments, you may submit them in writing. Each speaker will be given a 1 minute warning and then notified when their time is up. And I will apologize beforehand if it seems that at some point I'm kind of pushing you off the microphone, just for the purposes of we want to make sure that everyone that wants to provide comments tonight has the opportunity to do so. If we perchance have additional time at the end of the hearing and people would like to make additional comments, we may allow people to come back up to the microphone if time permits. But we would like to strictly enforce the 3 minute rule, just so that everyone that is here has a fair and equal opportunity to provide comments at this hearing. I also wish to mention that we have a group here, the Coastal Alliance Against Plant Expansion, also known as CAPE. CAPE has had some of their members donate their time slots so that they can make one presentation. Currently, it appears as though they have four individuals that wanted to donate their time to the organization. So the organization of CAPE will likely have a 12-minute slot. So in case it seems you're wondering why they are allowed to speak longer than the allotted 3 minutes, that is the reason why, because they're, instead of having their individual members come up, we decided it would be more expedient and probably more efficient to basically have one person representative from that group speak. I would also like to mention that I'm aware that some of you may have comments relating to water permit issues regarding this project, in addition to air permit issues. However, I ask you to please refrain from making any comments related to the water issues, because they are not relative to this specific air permit hearing and will not be considered as part of this process. I understand the comment period for the Morro Bay water permit is closed. However, if you still wish to submit written comments on the water permit, you may do so by sending written comments to Michael Thomas at the California Regional Quality Control Board. You can also, if you feel that it is necessary to do so, or if you would like to do so, you can also submit written comments to Nancy Yashikora at the United States Environmental Protection Agency, also at 75 Hawthorne Street, San Francisco, California, 94105. Because the official comment period is closed for the water permits, I cannot guarantee that your comments will be considered in that permit process. I would like to now begin the comment period, and I would like to read off the first five names of individuals who have submitted request to make comments. And again, I'm going to pre-apologize here if I mispronounce anyone's name. What I would like to do is, as I call you up to the podium, if you would please state your name for the record and also spell your name for the court reporter, that would be greatly appreciated. So I would like to call off the first five names. The first name is Roger Ewing. If you could please come up and take the first seat. Thank you, Mr. Ewing. If you could please just sit in that front seat right there, I'd appreciate it. The next person is Colleen Johnson. The third person is Nelson Sullivan. The fourth person is Gary Johnson. And the fifth person is Joan Carter. And Mr. Ewing, if you'd like to please take the podium. And again, Mr. Ewing, I please request that you can limit your comments to 3 minutes. You will receive a 1 minute warning, so to speak, when we're approaching the end of your comment period. So please feel free to begin. Okay.
Is this on?
Oh.
Is the mic on?
You know what? It doesn't sound like it. It does not sound like it is.
Hello?
There we go.
Good evening. My name is Roger Ewing, E-W-I-N-G, and I am a Morro Bay citizen. And first, I'd like to thank all of you very much for giving us the opportunity to voice our concerns. I've been opposed to the power plant from the very beginning. The city government of Morro Bay chose to pursue the modernization because of the money interest. I've opposed it because of the health interest. And it is my opinion that the long-term health of our citizens is far more important than the money gained in profit to one company. By lowering the smokestacks from 450 feet to 145 feet, PM10, particulate matters, will be coming right through our windows, right through our doorways, and right into our lungs. I think that's wrong. I don't think that's fair to the elderly in our community, nor do I think it's fair to the very, very young whose lungs are just beginning to form. So I would ask the EPA to think very seriously before granting a permit to continue the construction of this new power plant. And again, thank you for the opportunity to speak. There are many others that will come and speak on a more technical matter than I can. So listen carefully. Again, thank you. Have a good meeting.
Thank you, Mr. Ewing. I should also mention to people as you come up and speak that you may be wondering my specific role in the approval of this process. And I can assure you, I actually, as a hearing officer, I'm here to make sure that this proceeding moves forward in an orderly fashion. I actually do not personally have a say in this, you know, the approval of this permit. So I just wanted to make that clear to everyone as we move along. The people who will actually make the decisions will be reading these transcripts and the written comments that come in. So I wanted to make that crystal clear for you. Thank you, Mr. Ewing. I appreciate your comments tonight. Next person, Ms. Colleen Johnson.
Good evening and welcome to Morro Bay. My name is Colleen Johnson and I appreciate your traveling here to receive public comment and to collect all available information regarding this issue that is so important to our city. As you know, over the past few years, many studies have shown the relationship between increased concentrations of particulate matter and respiratory problems, especially in children and the elderly. One study that particularly impressed me was one that compared the health of children living near a power plant to those living far from a power plant. Those who lived near a power plant had a significant reduction in their lung capacity and an increase in respiratory problems as compared to those not exposed to the emissions of a power plant. This was particularly true for children in their teenage years when they are going through a period of rapid growth. The teenage years, the high school years. Concerning the power plant here in Morro Bay, Energy Commission documents refer to a 6-mile radius of increased pollution around the power plant. Our high school is not 6 miles from the power plant. Our high school is not even 3 miles from the power plant. It is almost right next door to the power plant. And if a new power plant is built, it will be north of the old plant, even closer to the high school than the old plant. The smokestacks of a new plant will be lower and closer to ground level so that the particulate matter, carbon monoxide, sulfur dioxide, and many other hazardous chemicals will saturate the students' airways as they run laps during PE or practice football after school. To add insult to injury, we not only have the Morro Bay students here at the high school, but because there is no high school in the neighboring town of Los Osos, the students there come to Morro Bay to also attend school under the smokestacks.
1 minute left, Ms. Johnson.
Obviously, we have a problem. A power plant next door to a school is not a good situation. The solution, build the power plant at a less populated location, or at the very least, employ best available technology at a new plant here. Knowing that what we know today, and if a permit will be granted, I urge you to prohibit the applicant from employing duct burning, and I urge you to ensure that the most advanced, least polluting turbines available are used. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Johnson. Appreciate that. Our next comment speaker will be Nelson Sullivan.
She's a tall girl.
Good evening, Mr. Sullivan. How are you?
Good evening.
Mr. Sullivan, if you could please state and spell your name for the record, I greatly appreciate that.
Nelson Sullivan, NelsonSullivan. And I'll be very brief because I know I'm going to be followed by much more well-informed people than myself. But I have been deeply involved in this power plant venture with the organization CAPE. And I'm personally convinced that this is a bad thing. But this not only is it in the middle of a town where the downwind is going to bring these particulates right into our houses, but it's a bad place to be generating electricity. The wiring throughout the state is. We're out in left field as far as where the deeds are, and the wires are not in existence, or are they planned to be in existence to make the best use of the energy that's being put in that effort. And the stacks, it's ludicrous to have these short stacks. The 450-foot stacks would let the pollutants go much farther afield than the population here. That's my main concern, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Sullivan. I appreciate your comments tonight. Our next speaker is Gary Johnson. Mr. Johnson, if you could please take the podium. And
Gary Johnson, live in Morro Bay, live 2 blocks from the plant, GarryJohnson. First, I'd like to say I'm an independent person. I am not affiliated with any group, not paid by the power plant people or being influenced by them. I'm a retired engineer who worked in the space industry for most of my career. I pioneered the field of particle analysis for 40 years working for Lockheed Corporation. I am considered an expert in this field. My work included optical microscopy, scanning electron microscopy, OJ analysis, atomic absorption, electron dispersive X-ray analysis known as EDX to identify particles and determine the origin of these particles. I discovered that PM10, or just particles themselves, are everywhere in our lives. Every breath we take, we are breathing in particles from cars' emissions, diesel emissions, smoke, inside our cars. Cars are one of the worst things right now because of the outgassing of the plastics. When you buy a new car, beware. Windy days, that's another big one. Pollen's everywhere. The list goes on and on. There are more particles going airborne from the list just mentioned that the plant would ever produce. If I were so paranoid, as some people are, about particles, I'd become a Howard Hughes and bury myself in a hotel room. In my professional career, we had a contract with customers that I would perform an in-plant inspection of facilities, determine if they all met the requirements, including particle contamination. After I retired to Morro Bay, I checked the power plant for safety and found out that the use is natural gas and the plant is very safe. I even took a complete tour of the facility and found the plant was in A-plus condition, and attended many meetings to discuss issues that I had. I feel the plant is safe, the plant meets all the requirements, and the EPA should go ahead and approve the facility.
1 minute, Mr. Johnson.
Okay. Yeah, I still feel that way. The plant does produce particles. They're not toxic. I'm more concerned about the emissions, if I was concerned of anything at all. But the most important thing, it really meets the EPA requirements. More than, you look at the graph, and it proves that if they didn't meet the EPA requirements, that'd be another issue. But it is not an issue. They do meet the EPA requirements. Particle contamination is a complex subject, and that's why we studied it in our space program, because, and that's why Intel, for an example, spends $1 billion to build a facility because of contamination. It's everywhere around us. The people, we are the worst contaminants of it all. So I could go on and on with the subject since I wrote papers on it, and I'm a pretty good expert on the subject. So I'll leave it as that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. And our next speaker will be Joan Carter. I'm sorry.
You're going to call those people up?
I'll call them up after you're finished, Ms. Carter. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Joan Carter, J-O-A-N-C-A-R-T-E-R. I'm a Morro Bay resident. And I would like for this hearing to make note of an article that was in our San Luis Obispo County newspaper last week on the 17th. I'm just going to read a little bit of it to you. It's titled, County Asthma Rate Tops States. The rates of asthma are increasing among California adults, and the percentage of San Luis Obispo County residents with the condition is higher than the state average, according to a new report. About 22,000 people in the county, or 9% of the population, have asthma, according to data from the 2003 California Health Interview Survey led by researchers at the UCLA Center for Health Policy Research. An additional 12%, or an additional 30,000 people in the county, have asthma-like symptoms that in some cases may be undiagnosed asthma. Statewide, 7% of residents reported having asthma symptoms. Researchers did not conclude why some counties have higher rates of asthma than others. Greg Thomas, the county's health officer, said the top two reasons San Luis Obispo County has higher rates of asthma are most likely the high pollen count and Central Valley air pollution drifting into the North County. Clearly, asthma and other breathing problems are significant issues for Californians and a growing challenge for our health care system, said Susan Babby, lead author of the report. Asthma is the most prevalent in young children and one of the leading causes of school absenteeism, the report said. Some schools have used a curriculum from the American Lung Association to teach children how to control their triggers and symptoms, she said. The public health departments also notifies the schools on days when the air quality is particularly poor, so teachers can limit outside physical activity. Almost 10% of people statewide have asthma breathing problems that may be undiagnosed asthma, the report found. So this is what's going on here, and this is a red flag, not to add other contributing causes of asthma in our county, like particulate matter, that will rise 60% due to the proposed increased operating time and the lower smokestacks with wind not blowing the contaminants away. So this permit should not be issued. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Carter. I'd like to call the names of the next five commenters. The first person will be Phil Hill. If you could please take the first seat up here, Mr. Hill. Next will be Pauline Lynette. And again, I apologize for mispronouncing anyone's names as we move through this. Is Pauline in the audience? Oh, Next is, I believe, Shush Kratzer. I'm sure all of you will correct me when you get up here, when you get up to the podium. Next is Colby Kratzer. And last is Bonita, is it Cherney? Mr. Hill, if you could please take the podium. And again, I ask that all of us please state your name, spell your name for the court reporter, and please be mindful of the 3-minute rule. Mr. Hill, thank you.
My name is Phil Hill, P-H-I-L-H-I-L-L. It's not my fault. I'm a Morro Bay citizen. I live on a boat in the estuary. I am just adamantly opposed to this whole project. Have been for quite a while. I used to work for the Chamber of Commerce. I had access to an incredible amount of data, some of which I wasn't supposed to have access to. And it's just a hideous thing. I'm not a smoker, I'm not an asthmatic, and I don't play one on television, but when I go in public and I'm at a coffee house or something, I do not sit downwind from tobacco. I didn't quit smoking to die from it, okay? You don't have to be a rocket scientist or anything else to look up at them damn stacks and see what's coming out the top. If that was blowing into your garage, it would kill you deader than a doornail. Birds don't circle around those stacks for good reason. I don't want to see the old plant there, and I don't want to see it operating. And I sure as heck don't want to see a new one with really big, fat, shorter stacks. The predominant winds around here blow inland. They're blowing over the high school or over the town. And that much lower, we're going to be sucking that junk into our lungs that much more. I'm vehemently opposed to it. And one-third of that wet stuff out there that we're not allowed to address is composed of oxygen. So there's an interchange there. There's an exchange system. And that's another part I can't talk about is the fact that it kills 500,000 life forms every day when they cook it. So we, you know, there's two schools here. There's one that's concerned with environmental upkeep, which is your job and mine. And then there's one that's concerned with economic vitality, and then there's people that are concerned about both. And I have 1 minute left, and yes, I'm almost done. And I'm concerned about both, and I know that we can live in good quality and make decent money and breathe good air better if we don't have that damn plant there. And I'm sorry if I sugarcoat my words. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hill. Pauline, I'm going to let you help me with your last name here. If you please, and if you want to, yes. But if you could please state and spell your name for the record.
Hi, my name is Pauline, capital P-A-U-L-I-N-E, and my last name is LaPlante, capital L-A, small p, L-A-N-T-E. I'm a new resident of beautiful Morro Bay, and I'm not an expert, but I do feel very strongly, and I would like to vote against the permit because I feel 60% more of the particulate matter would be most harmful to the health of the wonderful residents, the people who live here. When you're talking about a 6-mile radius being affected, the children, the teenagers, and the adults, as well as senior citizens like myself, I feel we're dealing with a very serious, dangerous situation. So I would like to put in as my feelings that, you know, I would appreciate the permit not being accepted. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. LaPlante.
Hi, my name is Shush Kratzer, S-H-O-O-S-H, C-R-O-T-Z-E-R. Another speaker came up and said he was an expert on air quality and has worked in power plants. He then proceeded to say that there's a tremendous increase in the particulates that we're breathing everywhere. He talked about new cars. Statistics are showing a terrible rise in asthma among children. There are enormous changes in the past 6 years with an increase of really bad things happening in our environment. The permit for this plant, the data that's used for this application, is 6 years old. Before any permit should be considered, this data needs to be revised. The permit is outdated and it needs to be updated, the information. So I'm hoping that this is really considered. If everyone talks about how much has changed in the past 6 years, look at our country, look what's happened in the environment, in politics, everything. 6 years, it is a long time. And the information in that permit is outdated and it needs to be changed before this is even considered at all. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Kretzer. Our next speaker will be Colby Kretzer.
Yes, Colby Kretzer, C-O-L-B-Y. C-R-O-T-Z-E-R. Thank you for having the hearing in Morro Bay to accept our public comments. I have been in my second term as elected city council person here in the city of Morro Bay. I had the obligation to study the application that was then put forward by Duke. I know that material quite well, spent many, many hours studying the data. My testimony tonight is more anecdotal and personal. I'm a school teacher here locally. I know most of the families as they come through, having taught here for 20 years, and I worry about their health and the health of my progeny. I'm a four-time grandparent at present, and our family home being located in Morro Bay Heights is, just from my personal experience, downwind from the present location of the plant and the location where the modernized, expanded plant might be sited. So I'm very concerned about the lowering of the height of the stacks from 450 feet to 145 feet. My elevation of my newly built second story, my major investment financially, has been in my home here in Morro Bay, and I tend to live my life out here. The new kitchen and living room is exactly 145 feet. Coming right downwind, studying the maps of the analysis of the particulate matter that APCD did here locally, the X marking the location where the particulate matter would decrease 10 times is directly over my neighborhood. I understand also that LS Power has an application to double that from 10 times to 20 times. Your officers will know the details of that better than I do. The concern for me, for our school children, and for my own progeny is personally compounded by the fact that I don't want to be on my deathbed. I'm beginning to experience some symptoms of asthma, and I don't want to die of emphysema, cursing the EPA, who's supposed to be the watchdog that looks out for my livelihood and that of my children.
1 minute, Mr. Crusher.
Thank you. I understand that APC's jurisdiction of air quality when they do their analysis is the county is countywide. I wish, and I know that you can't answer a direct question, my question to anyone listening to the tape to analyze this would be, do you really care about the life of people, the lung health of the people that live here in this town, Morro Bay, or is it simply that you're going to analyze the impact of the overall county, the whole region? Because if it's only the latter, then I think I've wasted my breath here. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments, Mr. Crusher. And our next speaker is Bonita Cherney.
Good evening. My name is Bonita Cherney. It's B-O-N-I-T-A-C-H-U-R-N-E-Y. I have several issues with respect to the permit and object to the proposed permit on several bases, one of which is that the proposed PSD permit understates actual expected PM10 emission rates by at least 100%. The PM10 emission rates are not supported by the facts. PM10 rates are not based on the manufacturer's warranted rates, which are 18 to 20 pounds per hour without duct firing. They're based instead upon Duke Energy's hired expert's guesstimate of emission rates based on only on his, quote, professional judgment. This guesstimate was not based on modeling utilizing approved EPA methodology. It was not based on methods 5 and 202, which are the approved methodology for PM10 emission rates. And it's actually, it is the, they're the methods that are set forth in the proposed permit itself. I think that underscores the fact that those are the methodologies that should have been used, but were not when coming up with the actual estimates of PM10 emissions. Instead, Duke's expert based his guesstimate of PM10 emission rates on unapproved methodology using methods 201A and 8. And all of this took place before the California Energy Commission in hearings and testimony before the California Energy Commission. It's all on record, and it's all been provided to you, to the EPA, by CAPE. Not coincidentally, the emission rates that Duke came up with are substantially lower by half of the vendor guaranteed rate. The PM10 source test results of the same model turbines in operation elsewhere, and emission rates using proper EPA-approved source test methodology, that is, methods 5 and 202. Yes. Thank you.
1 minute, Ms. Trent.
All of the emission data from the vendor and the source testing using approved methodology are consistent at 18 pounds per hour without duct firing, which is well in excess of the proposed permitted rate of 11 pounds per hour without duct firing and 13 pounds per hour with. And as the evidence provided to you demonstrates, the weight of the evidence actually suggests emission rates without duct firing of 22 pounds per hour for a total of 406 tons of particulate emissions per year, not the 203 tons modeled by Duke. So how does the EPA justify permitting a PM10 emission rate that is unattainable and factually unsupported and unproven? Setting a lower cap in the permit condition is useless and unenforceable because, given current technology, there will be no way to provide continuous in-stack monitoring. So I would submit that the proposed permit is based on faulty assumptions, bad science, and incorrect facts, and should be denied. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Turing. What I'd like to do is I'm going to call up the next five individuals, and just so people know, after these next five individuals, I think what I would like to do is slot in the 12-minute slot for CAPE to make their presentation. So just in case you're wondering what the orders are, then I will proceed on with individual comments. So let's take the next five individuals. The first person is Michael Lucas. Mr. Lucas, if you could please take the first chair over there, I'd appreciate it. Second person is Robin Cole. Next is Peter Risley. Is Peter Risley in the room? Oh. Thank you, Mr. Risley. If you could take the next chair, I'd appreciate that. The fourth person is Mandy Davis. And the fifth person is Richard Sandowski. Mr. Lucas, if you could please take the podium. Please state and spell your name for the record. And again, if you could please be mindful of the 3-minute rule, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, my name is Michael Lucas, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Lucas, L-U-C-A-S. I'm a Morro Bay resident. I'm on the faculty of Cal Poly, and I teach in the Architecture and Ethnic Studies departments. I have two different purposes tonight. The first is as a member of the New Futures Task Force, which the Morro Bay City Council appointed to review the power plant ramifications of a permit being granted or a permit not being granted. Those relationships with LNS Power have been outstanding. They've been very forthcoming with a productive relationship as we've searched what might happen with the existing power plant property and grounds. And I think that still has yet to be played out. I think we'll have some other speakers from the committee to talk about that productive relationship later on. I also want to come tonight as a citizen. In my field of architecture 7 years ago, the differences in technology of representation, modeling, the way we can anticipate any natural processes, the way we can study those things has changed radically. I share one of the former speaker's concerns that the permit now is going on 6 or 7 years in terms of some of the nature of the facts that are in there. I think that whatever the EPA can enforce in terms of upgrades, new studies to further substantiate the claims in the permit would be positive. I also am a resident on the hillsides here as well. I believe my house is probably right around where the new stack is going to be. So I share a concern about particulate matter due to the nature of the height of the stack that's in there. I also know that during the permit process, there were concerns about screening the facility, which by its nature may change the height of the stack as well. So I just hope that as EPA looks at these issues, that the concerns about technology and the modeling of the particulate emissions on the community would be open for closer study. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Lucas. Before I call the next person up to the podium, I also just want to mention just as a quick housekeeping matter, in case anyone needs to use the restrooms through this proceeding, the restrooms are out in the lobby. There are restrooms to the right, and there's a wheelchair accessible restroom to the left as you walk out the door. I don't also want you to feel like you're being held captive here if you need to use the restroom. Should I call your name and you're not here, I will merely put your name to the back of the pile and call it at a later time this evening. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that they, you know, don't have to sit here if you need to go use the restrooms. The next person I would like to call to the podium is Robin Cole. Good evening, Ms. Cole.
Good evening. Thank you for a chance to voice my concern. I don't have any statistics. I'm just speaking from the heart. I am a quite new resident here. I moved from Kern County in my retirement to get away from the terrible pollution there. You can imagine my alarm when I saw the information about the possible pollution here. I understand from a previous speaker that there are many sources for pollutants, but I can't understand why we wouldn't try to regulate whatever we can. You know, in Kern County, when you sell a home, the county has to disclose to the buyer the problem with the bad air. Projecting in the future, I just can't imagine that happening in Morro Bay. I just wonder if our city council, if some of those people have lived here so long that they don't realize how precious and special this area is. The Elfin Forest, the estuary, the bay itself, just on and on. And I'm very concerned about the impact on humans, animals, and plants, especially after reading about an occurrence in the 1960s at the plant that really did cause some damage to the very things that I've mentioned. Now would I recommend to my friends in Kern County to come to Morro Bay to retire? I'm not sure. I want to see how this plays out. And I can't imagine if word got out about all this statewide, I can't imagine that it would be such a mecca for tourists, and I cannot imagine that it would even do our real estate value much good. So I'm just very concerned. I'm not familiar with a lot of the technical aspects. I just wanted to voice this concern, and I thank you for the chance.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Cole. Next is Peter Risley. Good evening, Ms. Risley.
Yes. Did you want me to spell my name?
Yes. Please.
R-I-S-L-E-Y. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm very concerned about this. When I heard that they were going to reduce the size of the stacks from a 445 feet to 175 feet, I was very alarmed because I knew that the majority of the pollutants would thereby fall within the breathing range of Morro Bay citizens. And I have an article here from CRI California, fall of 1967. And I want, I would like the people, you might check it out. There has been a historical ignorance of the health of the people of Morro Bay. And yes, because you're lowering the stacks and because you're increasing the amount of exhaust, of pollution to the people of Morro Bay, the real estate values are going to go down. And there's a good possibility that some people are going to die. Well, of course, they're going to be older people or younger people. So I wonder if perhaps the EPA or the state or the power companies consider the people of Morro Bay less valuable. And I wonder if we can assign a value to the life of people in Morro Bay as compared to, say, for instance, Austin, Texas, or Houston, Texas, where the owners of these plants who have made enormous amount of money are going to profit, whereas we are going to have sickness. And that's a major concern of mine. I'm not against a power plant there. I am against the abuse and exploitation of the people of Morro Bay, and I'm against the real estate values being dropped.
1 minute, Mr. Reisel.
Yeah, and I wonder how really democratic this situation is as far as our concerns are. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Reisel. Our next speaker will be Mandy Davis. Good evening, Ms. Davis.
Hi, I'm Mandy Davis. I am currently I live in Sarasota, Florida, and I just moved from here. I've lived here for over 7 years.
Ms. Davis, can you just take a moment to spell your name for the
D-A-V-I-S.
Record?
And I have been really fortunate in the fact that I've been able to spend a good portion of my time outside on the estuary in observance of many of the patterns that we see here in nature. The wind patterns, our fog patterns. What happens, and I happen to also be, and this is a very important point, a human canary, in the fact that I am an asthmatic and I am very chemical sensitive. So those combinations have a tendency to make me really pay attention to what's happening in the air and in the environment for me. Otherwise, I am in distress. And one thing that I have noticed since I've been here, especially since the plant has been running as a peaker, I have lived on a boat, and I've lived around the corner from being able to see the plant and know whether or not it's running. And it's been a very interesting experiment for me, being a biologist, in that those days, especially that we have a low ceiling, and those days that plant is running, and the days that it was running constantly when I first moved here, is I am in respiratory distress. I do notice it as soon as I wake up. And so I decided to kind of make an experiment out of it. And those days when I woke up and I could tell that there was something in the air, I could feel the difference, I'd go around the corner and take a look. And it was invariably the case. But this is not really what I wanted to tell you. I mean, you know all the studies on the PM10s. You know that if you have a lower ceiling, you know that if you have lower stacks, that you are going to create more respiratory distress for the residents of this area, especially those of us with the prevailing winds that were our downwind, which is the majority, if not just about all of Morro Bay. What I would like to point out to you is, being an animal rights activist, and being somebody that speaks for the animals in this area, is that the avian population that we prize so much here, that migrates to this area and migrates in and out over a large portion of the year, is considerably more susceptible to PM10s and any of these pollutants. This is a population that is important. as EPA, this is part of the National Estuary Program. This is a highly valued place, and we value our wildlife. So I ask that you not give this plant the permits. It will drastically influence, and it will negatively impact the avian population, all of the wildlife here, people like myself, the children, the older people. Please do not allow this to happen. It's really important to our population. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. And the next speaker will be Richard Sadowski. If you could please state and spell your name for the record.
Richard Sadowski, S-A-D-O-W-S-K-I. Richard Sadowski, Ocean Outfall Group. I'm also a member of the American Society of Mechanical Engineers. This plant, first of all, you mentioned about this being an air quality issue or a water quality issue or a visual impact issue. This issue is a pollution issue. I attended the American Society of Mechanical Engineers conference that was held in Las Vegas between the 18th and the 20th. And there were various academia and people of expertise, doctors in engineering, and also the chair of the EPA, Mr. John Lyons. And I got a chance to speak with him about this plant, and I told him that our mayor had just signed a 50-year lease with somebody we didn't know for an outfall. And then we find out later on it's the guy that used to run Chernobyl, and it was kind of brought out a little laughter there. Now, the problem with this plant goes beyond just those little issues. This was a piece of antiquity of engineering when it was built back then, and it's just worse, and it's just getting degrading more and more. The power plant symbolizes pollution, death, and destruction. And in my opinion, out of the respect for the unborn American generations yet to come, it should be immediately retired, period. It destroys 17 to 33% of the life coming into our beautiful estuary. The stacks pollute. We have already nitrate problems. It contributes to our sewage problems. It's time for it to go. Thank you for this opportunity to address you.
Thank you, Mr. Sadowski. At this time, like I said before, we're going to allot a 12-minute slot for a representative from CAPE to speak. They will go ahead and have 12 minutes, continuous 12 minutes.
Before my time starts, I wonder if I can make just a couple of corrections on what you earlier stated. First, we're Coastal Alliance on plant expansion,
okay.
Not against.
Oh, should I say again? I'm sorry.
Yeah, a lot of people do, but I don't even know you. I don't understand
yes,
it.
Thank you for the correction.
And the other thing was that you were asked about water board comments, and you said it was closed. I hope the EPA isn't under the illusion that they have their water permit, because that permit's not final or not even on the table. So comments
correct.
On the
all
water.
I'm saying is that all I said was the make for clarification is that the official comment period is closed.
That's not true, because the hearing hasn't even been held.
Okay.
So
What I would recommend is I will have to go back and clarify what the comment period is. If you feel like you want to comment on the water issues, I again would encourage you to still submit your comments to the
board.
Sources that I identified earlier.
But that is open, just so to.
Well, I'll tell you what, I can't go on record right now to say that it was my understanding it was closed. If it is open, I certainly haven't closed it tonight. I don't have the authority to close it. If the comment period on the water permit is still open, it in fact is still open. It would be still open regardless of what I said here. So I would encourage, again, anyone who does have any comments on that water permit to go ahead and submit. And we'll leave it at that. But why don't we go ahead.
Okay, with those corrections made, I'm ready to.
Okay, and we'll begin with the 12 minutes starting from
CAPE,
right now.
And I am David Nelson, and I'm co-president of Coastal Alliance on Plant Expansion. And speakers tonight will be Henriette Groot and myself and Monique Nelson. And I'm going to turn this over to Monique now. And if the timekeeper can give me the 1 minute warning at 4 minutes. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Henriette Groot. That's spelled H-E-N-R-I-E-T-T-E. Groot, G-R-O-O-T. And I want to tell you a little bit about CAPE. CAPE has been involved with this project since 1999. We became interveners in the process, the application with the California Energy Commission. We never were opposed to the plant as to the new plant or the, quote, modernization as such. We only took issue with the plans for air and for water, and that still is the case. The scanning the application, it is indeed very outdated and incomplete. And having been involved as well with the National Estuary Program, I'm surprised that the right hand and the left hand of the EPA don't seem to talk to each other. In other words, the National Estuary Program, the Morro Bay National Estuary Program here, receives funding and is under the supervision of the EPA Water Division. And reading from the NEP website, the EPA is working, I'm quoting, working to safeguard and improve the health of our nation's most important coastal waters. I wanted to remind you of that, that estuary is very important to us, as well as the people who live around it, of course. Again, as David says, the cooling method permit has not been issued, and the hearing has not even been scheduled. I thought, it was my understanding, that in order to have this present permit issued, all other permits had to be in line. Apparently, that is not the case. Then the other comment I need to make is on the meteorological analysis. I'm a sailor, and I know that wind patterns depend very much on the topology of the landmass nearby. The meteorological analysis was based on data from Vandenberg Air Force Base. They don't have a Morro Rock at Vandenberg. It's a totally different situation there, and people who live here know the particular wind patterns around that rock are very typical of this particular area. So that's only one of the things that is wrong with the permit, and people have mentioned other parts of it. I do want to thank you for coming here and letting us give you input, and now I'll turn it over to the next speaker.
Thank you, Ms. Groot.
As I said, my name is David Nelson, N-E-L-S-O-N, and I'd like to start out by addressing your conclusions on the ambient air quality impact report. It says on number 10, based on the information provided by LS Power and the review of the analysis contained in the permit application. Now, LS Power is quoting from a CEC study that has really different rules than what the EPA should be offering and does offer. As Ms. Cherney said about the methodology used to determine particulate matter, they didn't use manufacturer's specs or manufacturer's guarantees. So they varied from that. So that's just the beginning of this mess. And to just base your conclusion on that is dangerous. And the Coastal Alliance has put in a lot, and I'm only going to brief over a few things. The wrong baseline is a really important thing to us. The baseline of emission levels for all pollutants of the existing Morro Bay power plant is 4 times lower than Duke claims. Duke inflated permissible levels of emissions of all pollutants, including PM10, for new turbines. We're really concerned that Duke based its baseline on 24-month emission period for all 4 units for the years of 1998 to 2000. And EPA is very clear that it should be 24-month of a 5-year period closest to the construction period of the plant. Now, obviously, we're in 2006, so this study that they based these numbers on are really out of whack, and we would be asking you to use a more representative period, because this period between 1998 and 2000 was during the so-called energy crisis, where they were running that plant way over what the normal is or was. So that would be the first thing, and you know, baseline that they're using, the period, was just not representative. And we're asking that you make it within a period of 5 years immediately preceding construction. The best available technology, again, too, this is based on stuff from 1999. It's 7 years old. We know that there's cleaner generators out there and available for best available technology. Contention that Duke has been here since 1950s and has done no harm. I have an article here from Cry California, 1967, and I'll leave this as an add-on to what we've already put in. And this shows clearly that there's been lots of damage. So that takes care of our baseline concerns. We have so many more, and 12 minutes really isn't much to work with, but bear with me. The emission rates proposed by Duke just aren't acceptable under EPA standards. They should excuse me, well, I did that, I'm sorry. CAPE does challenge EPA's preliminary conclusion that proposed project will not cause a violation of the applicant PSD increments as set forth in the record. As noted, we're really worried about the meteorological.
Mr. Wilson, I just wanted to let you know that was this is the 4-minute mark.
Okay, so as Ms. Grews hit. Using Vandenberg as our meteorological is unacceptable, because everybody knows from Point Sal to Point Conception's totally different than here. And I'll turn this over to Ms. Nelson. Sorry.
That's okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Nelson.
My name's Monique Nelson, M-O-N-I-Q-U-E, N-E-L-S-O-N. And CAPE has already submitted written comments to your office with voluminous exhibits. Tonight, we've just touched upon some of the points we've made in our comments, but by no means have we covered them all. We trust that the EPA will take the time necessary to read and understand the material we've submitted. And if you have any follow-up questions, to please give us the opportunity to answer them at that time. So what exactly is CAPE asking you, the EPA, to do? To summarize, we're asking you to deny the issuance of the PSD permit to the applicant, whether that applicant is Duke Energy, LS Power, or Dynergy. In the alternative, we ask you to delay a decision on the PSD permit until the errors in the applicant's analysis are corrected and the data then reevaluated. More specifically, we're asking the EPA to reject the PM10 emissions rate proposed by the applicant, and to require that they refigure this rate for the proposed new power plant using EPA-approved methodology and based on nothing less than the emission data supplied by the turbine manufacturer. And this data is further supported by source tests of such turbines in operation. EPA regulations specify that the baseline period must be for any 24-month consecutive period within the 5-year period immediately preceding construction of the project. We ask you to reject the inflated baseline proposed by Duke Energy and now supported by LS Power and Dynergy. This baseline is for the period between 1998 and 2000, which was distorted by the energy crisis, a crisis Duke Energy helped create. We further request that you order the applicant to reevaluate the baseline based on the operation of the existing Morro Bay power plant for a 24-month consecutive period starting no earlier than 5 years ago. This period would also be more representative of normal operating conditions. These recalculated results should then be reviewed and adjusted as necessary when construction actually begins. Although other air pollutants are not being addressed at this hearing, CAPE believes the corrected baseline will show increased levels of CO2, NOx, and VOC in addition to higher levels of PM10 emissions, and that all of these will need to be reevaluated. CAPE asks the EPA to require updated information be provided by the applicant in order to analyze best available control technology or BACT. We also ask the EPA to mandate measures to improve BACT, for instance, having applicant install newer, more technologically advanced turbines, and eliminate the duct firing process, which contributes disproportionate amounts of PM10 and other pollutants in relation to the energy it produces. We ask the EPA to delay any final decision until the cooling issue is resolved, since in a case where closed cycle cooling is required, for example, this will impact the outcome of the PSD analysis. There's a lot more to say, but I'll stop here. Again, CAPE asks you to deny the PSD permit as proposed, or at least delay your decision until the issues raised have been addressed and the flaws in applicants' analysis corrected. Thank you.
Thank you, and I would like to again thank Ms. Groot, David Nelson, and Monique Nelson for their comments on behalf of CAPE. I would like to go ahead and proceed with calling individuals to the podium, so I'm going to call the next five individuals. The next person is Joey Rocano. If you could please take the first chair there, Mr. Rocano, thank you. Next is Margaret Beetham. David Wiseman. Is Mr. Wiseman in the room? Is Mr. Wiseman here? Oh, maybe he went to the restroom. Okay. Well, what I'll do is I'll put Mr. Wiseman's card back into the stack, and we'll call him at a later time. Next is Marla Bruton. Ms. Bruton, if you could please take the next seat. Next is Bill Martini. And the fifth commenter for this particular section is Melody DeMerritt. Is Melody in the room? She'll also be back. Well, what I'll do, just so we can keep moving along, is I will also put her card back into the stack, and we'll call the next person, Barry Dorfman, MD, Dr. Dorfman. Yes. Thank you, Dr. Dorfman. Mr. Rocano, if you could please take the podium, state and spell your name for the record, and again, please be mindful of the three-minute rule. We would greatly appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
My name is Joey Rocano. That's R-A-C-A-N-O. I am a director with the Orange County Ocean Outfall Group, a statewide 501c3 dedicated to ending all waivers of the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. The reason that I have come before you today is to question the necessity for a permit, or even why are we calling it a permit? Let's call it what it is. It's a waiver. It's a waiver that does not bring a power plant into compliance with the Clean Air Act. Rather, it brings the power plant around compliance with the Clean Air Act. The Clean Air Act of 1973 you're 33 and a half years behind at this point. Also, another important point to remember is that that Thad Baxley and Janice Peters of our city are running for the Morro Bay City Council, and both voted for a 50-year extension to the outfall lease without yet knowing who had purchased the power plant, and I think that that is a very good reason not to elect either one of them. Now, I'd like to talk for a minute about PM10s. PM10s are very different from 10 p.m. At 10 p.m., you go to sleep. With PM10s, you go to the hospital. Particulate matter less than 10 microns across is not only shown to be damaging, but new studies show that we don't even know how damaging, and it just seems to get worse all the time. Now, let's say we could separate the water from the air issue. Well, we really couldn't, because if you separated the water from the air issue, you'd have to tell that to, say, cormorants who dwell both in the estuary and in the air. Now, if you were to stick a cork in the single-pass cooling intake of this power plant, you'd find that power plant that's 1 minute left. Yeah, that's why I've been holding up the rude sign, because you've been breaking everybody's concentration with that, and it's a public relations ploy. We don't appreciate you coming here asking if you can pollute us, and we don't appreciate your public relations ploys. So every time you hold up a 1 minute sign to me and be rude, I'm going to hold up a rude sign. So please don't do it again. Now, if you stuck a cork in that intake, you'd find that power plant would overheat faster than a 440 in a motorhome on the grapevine. They are inextricably connected, and you are killing the estuarine larva. Now, to conclude, I would say that birders, ecotourists, the environmentalists, hunters, fishermen, businesses, and children all depend on this power plant's speedy departure from Morro Bay, and the sooner the better. So do us a favor. Get rid of the waiver. No more single-pass cooling intake. No more nitrogen dioxide. No more power plant. Thank you for this opportunity to address you today.
Thank you, Mr. O'Connell. Our next speaker will be Margaret Beetham. Ms. Beetham, if you could please take the podium and state and spell your name for the record, we would greatly appreciate it.
Yes, I'm Margaret Beetham, B as in boy, E-E-T, H-A-M, San Simeon, California. Do I give the street address too?
Oh, no. Just okay. Your name would be sufficient.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Hearing challenge, so I wasn't hearing everything. I am definitely opposed to continuation of the plant in any farm, such as it is, unless we can do alternate energy. And it seems like there should be no contest between what kind of power plant, if we're going to have one, at this particular time in history when we can do alternate energy, when we can do something that doesn't pollute, and we're talking about doing something that pollutes. It seems rather insane. And also it seems immoral to have a plant that does all the things that our previous speakers have spoken of. Even if you say, oh, take it with a grain of salt, you couldn't get that much salt, you know. It's just, I'm speechless. I didn't prepare something, but I think we have one of the world-class pieces of geography here in Morro Bay, and not to use it as perhaps we could say nature intended, not something that kills animals and eventually people and eventually unborn people will suffer consequences that we don't know whether we'll even be able to help. We don't know whether we'll be able to help genetic damage in any feasible and any satisfactory way. So I
have 1 minute, miss.
I plead for a humanitarian solution here. Thank you.
Thank you. Speaking, thank you for your comments tonight. Next will be Marla Bruton. Ms. Bruton, if you could please state and spell your name for the record.
Certainly. Marla Jo Bruton, B as in boy, R-U-T-O-N. I'm a court reporter, so I know how to spell slow. I'm from North Morro Bay here. I'm also part of the Ocean Outfall Group on the Central Coast. And we are, as Mr. Ricano mentioned, we are dedicated to stopping waivers of the Clean Water Act and the Clean Air Act. So I see this plant as being integral between the two. There's no separation. I attended the State Water Quality Board scoping meeting earlier this year, and we were discussing the once through cooling, and I see the future of that not being viable no longer, and I believe that there are several experts and people in position in the EPA who would agree with that. The companies coming in here that are private companies that are causing danger to the public health using public resources to do that is a thing that should be of the past. Also is interesting, was brought up this evening that the time frame for their studies on the air emission was 98 to 2000. Well, that was the energy crisis, and Duke Energy was found to have been one of those eight corporations to have manipulated the energy crisis in this state and rip off the public. Now, it's sometime we just have to stand up here and say no more, no more. I was up at an Ocean Protection Council meeting, and we were having the energy crisis this summer, and, you know, people dying in the Central Valley because of heat. This plant wasn't running. There was barely a little energy field coming out the top, clear. It wasn't running. They are manipulating again. This is profit-borne. They're hoping to enshrine them once through cooling, and it is not acceptable. Also, I spoke with John Lyons, the chair of the EPA, last week, and was telling him about everything that was going around here. And he was just shaking his head, going, there must be some kind of politics, some kind of something going on. And so the people here are asking you. I raised my children here. 23 years I've lived here, having soot on the windows of the car in the morning. Someday we thought it would stop, and that someday should be now. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Ms. Burton. Next is Bill Martini. Ms. Martini, please state and spell your name for
sure.
The record.
Sure. Actually, that's great. Bill Martini, and it's Martony. And, you know, I think I'll bring up one plus factor of the power plant before I kind of chew into it. Came here in 1970, and it was really nice surfing out in front, warm water. That was when wetsuits were just coming in. But at the same time, I asked myself, why did they build a power plant right in the center of town? And, of course, I thought, well, this was in the 50s. You know, back then people didn't realize what was going on. I knew it was economics. But now we're here in 2006, and we're talking about duplicating what I felt was probably, not that we don't need a power plant, but built in the wrong location. I know originally it was, I think Villa Creek was one of the locations they were talking about up the coast, a little further away from the population visually in that. But I think with this new power plant, one of the points as far as the design, I know people have talked about short stacks, tall stacks. We've been sold that, you know, tall stacks are visually ugly and short stacks would be much more compatible or acceptable. When we own a ranch behind Cayucas, when I come down the hill in the summertime and it's foggy in Morro Bay, the existing stacks go up above the fog line. And I don't think this has been addressed, or maybe it has and I haven't heard it. But the reason the stacks were 450 foot tall was it goes above the fog line to disperse the pollutants. You can actually see the yellow plumes going into San Luis, or you get offshore, you see it going, you know, out or above Cayucas. And so it really disperses in a wide area. And you're going to end up with the short stacks, you're going to end up with like the black fog of London, where when the fog sets in the summertime, the pollutant won't actually get through the fog, and it will condense it and hold it down.
1 minute, Ms. March.
Thanks. Sure. And secondly, the other thing is when you have a rock, like Morro Rock, you will actually get a downdraft on the backside of the rock. And so I think to actually have the power plant with short stacks on the backside of a rock when you actually have a downdraft, that actually, it's like your fireplace when you have wind blowing and it blows the smoke back down and out the fireplace. I think you're going to have that effect with the short stacks. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marchand. Dr. Dorfman, if you please take the podium and if you please state and spell your name for the record.
Barry Dorfman, B-A-R-R-Y, D as in David, O-R-F as in Frank, M-A-N. And thank you for holding this hearing. I want to just endorse the many comments that have been made about the flaws in the database and methodologies for the air for the permit. Add a bit of background. I'm currently a psychiatrist, but prior to that, I was in public health for 20 years. And back when I started training in public health in the late 1960s, there were many studies beginning to emerge that it was bad for your health to breathe polluted air. During that time, the evidence has become incontrovertible. That's why we have agencies such as yours. And there has been progress, although it had to get a lot worse before it began to get better. And we don't want that to happen again. I think that not only do we have to understand the need to update the database, but in the time even since the permit was since the initial database was laid down, there has been a great increase in the understanding in terms of the biological mechanisms as to how the air pollution, and especially PM10s, do their damage. And they do their damage not only physically, but they do their damage because of what they do to the immune system and the way they present either inorganic or organic particulate matter to the immune system cells that send the signals out. And I ask that any permitting process update itself with the current science. I think everyone understands the idea that if you take a group of people and they smoke more of, and compare it with a group who doesn't, more of them will die of cancer or have various other problems. And you can figure it out. It's called attributable risk. I see the 1 minute. It's called attributable risk. However, I can't say you're the person or you're the person that's going to have the problem from it. But I guarantee you that if this permit goes forward as is, with its certain increase in PM10, someone will do their PhD on the increased death and morbidity in this area. There will be neonates, children, and adults who will die, and it needn't be, who will have untold misery, putting aside the economic impact, and it needn't be. The thing we want to avoid, which is an old medical maxim, at least do no harm. It will be doing harm to have this permit with its currently envisioned because of the morbidity and mortality it is demonstrably certain to cause. Unfortunately, it would be after the fact and too late. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Dorfman. I would like to call our next five speakers. The next speaker, I have to apologize. I'm having a little bit of difficulty reading the name. I believe it's Roy Iowich. It looks like R-O-Y-E-I-Y-O-W-A-T? That's okay. I apologize for not pronouncing your name correctly. Next person is Kathy Wells. Is Ms. Wells in the audience? I will go ahead and set aside Ms. Wells' card. Oh, here she comes. Oh, no. I'll go ahead and set aside Ms. Wells' card and call her a later time. Next is it Sandra Brazil? Sandra Brazil? Again, I'll go ahead and set this card aside. Next is David Wiseman, who I believe we called Mr. Wiseman previously, and Melody Demerit. Well, since none of these people are present, why don't we go ahead? Okay, I'm sorry. Are you Melody Demerit? Thank you, Ms. Demerit. Why don't we go ahead with you two, and then we'll see if these people return after you're finished. If you could please take the podium and state and spell your name for the record, we'd greatly appreciate it.
Good evening. Roy, R-O-Y, Cinewalt, C-I-N-O-W-A-L-T.
Thank you.
I live on the east side of the Salinas Valley on some acreage out in an area nobody wants to live in relative to the desirability of this area. Rattlesnakes, coyotes, mountain lions, bobcats, and the deer will eat anything you plant. However, I chose to move there. I live there with these limitations and facts of life. I noticed the power plant's been there since 1955. I wonder how many people were there when they built the plant. In this light, I'd really like to relate a story of one of the places I've lived in my life. I've lived in about 10 different cities, some not even in this country. I've worked 43 years in construction. I would like to see the plant under the right conditions built. The little story scenario is I lived in the Los Angeles area near Los Angeles Airport. They call it LAX. I lived in Playa del Rey down near the end of the runway. In the 50s, they built some what I consider fantastic homes on these sand dunes above the beach, between the beach and the end of the runway. To me, they were beautiful, beautiful homes. And I lived just north of there in an old 50s type home. However, when I lived there, a lot of people got together and formed a homeowners association and said the jets are too noisy, the airplanes are too noisy. And they made a lot of noise, that is, the homeowners group did. And a study was conducted. Some homeowners were given some insulation for their homes to reduce the sound impact. The homeowners insisted that it was still too noisy. Well, to make a long story less long, the airport did a study and they said, you know what? You're right. It is too noisy here. They condemned all the homes, and while I lived there, I watched every single one towed away, relocated to places like Watts, Gardena, whatever. There were hundreds of homes. And today, what was a beautiful place where people, well, could have lived, are now windblown sand dunes. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Cinderwalt. Mr. Merritt, if you could please state and spell your name for the record, I would greatly appreciate it.
My name is Melody. That's spelled M-E-L-O-D-Y, Demerit, D-E, capital M-E-R-I-T-T. I'm a member of the City Council, but I'm speaking in four capacities. First one is as a resident of Morro Bay who lives on a hillside. I'm disturbed that the power plant stacks are going to come down and emit 60% more PM10s because since the age of about 10, I've been an asthmatic. The asthma doesn't get any better with age, and it doesn't get any better with PM10s. And I know you've had this article referred to you tonight that was published on October 17th about the asthma rate in this county. I'm kind of waiting home to go home, actually, and get to my inhaler. The second hat I wear is as a proud former member of CAPE. I didn't know any better about this power plant until CAPE was telling me things. I was all for it. But in 1998, when Duke first came here, that first power company, I didn't know any better, and I think some people don't. And as I got more information, I became more aware of the danger that this new plant would pose. After being on CAPE for 5 years, I became a member of the City Council. I was elected in 2004. One of the sad parts of being on City Council is you don't always win. I fought vigorously against the lease that we signed with this power plant company for their outfall. I absolutely hate the deal. I'm opposed to it. You will hear some people say that Morro Bay wants a power plant. I'd give you about 40% of us by now because we're getting smarter. On the City Council, we were lucky enough to have enough people on council to form a thing called the New Futures Committee. It is a council-appointed body that is appointed to look at alternative uses of the power plant property. It's been very active. We meet twice a month, and we've had very good cooperation from LS Power, by the way. Been very helpful in providing us with zoning maps, site maps, looking at the lot, giving us tours of the plant, helping us out with a recent community workshop that generated over 100 people coming in and talking about the possibilities of different uses. I think that the idea of what a future vision for a beautiful place like this that has already suffered 50 years of pollution and damage to the estuary is a PowerPoint show that I wanted to bring you tonight, but I will email it to you. Now I see the 1 minute sign. This is a power plant in London that is planned to be on the Thames River. It's actually incorporating a power plant that will be under this green space. This is a power plant that is it is built in Baltimore. Notice these are all water dependent and along the ocean and near urban places where people don't like PM10s. So they build shopping malls instead for big revenue. This is one that is planned for Hampton, Virginia. A nice ritzy part. They've decided they're so ritzy, and we should too, that they're going to build nice big shopping malls and hotels instead of power plants. These don't emit PM10s, by the way. This power plant is planned for Austin, Texas, near their river, another water intake plant. They decided, Sehome Power, by the way, is cooperating with them in building this redevelopment property. So I would just hope that I'll send this all to you, and I'll refer you tonight to our great website. It is newfutures.morro-bay.org, and it lists all of these possibilities. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Merritt. I'm going to go ahead and try these individuals again. Is David Weissman in the room? Sandra Brazil? Or Kathy Wells? Ladies and gentlemen, as you know, this hearing is actually scheduled to last until 9 o'clock. It's approximately 10 minutes to 8. What I would like to do is, why don't we take a 10 to 15 minute break? Why don't we say 15 minutes? We'll come back at 5 minutes after 8. And if any of you would like to make additional comments, why don't we go ahead and, I don't think it's necessary to resubmit. If you would like to make additional comments, why don't you talk to me? Give me your name. I'll pull your cards out and we'll make a new stack. And we'll go ahead and we'll do 3-minute increments until the time expires. So, we'll just go ahead if you'd like to make, another round of comments. For as long as we can. So why don't we go ahead and take a 15-minute break, and any of those of you who would like to make additional comments, why don't you talk to me and we'll go ahead and make a new stack of cards. Two speakers who would like additional time. Before we call the commenters up, I also just wanted to make a little bit of an announcement here. The gentlemen who are recording this hearing wanted me to let you know that the DVDs of this meeting will be available through AGP Video, and their website is it's called Slowspan, S-L-O-S-P-A-N, that's one word, slowspan.org. And then when you get into that website, you click into special meetings. So I just wanted to let you know that the videotape of this hearing will be available through that website. We have two more speakers, David and Monique Nelson, both who you previously heard from the organization CAPE. We'd like to give them a little extra time since they are the only two speakers who requested extra time. So I'd like to give them, you know, we'll give them 4 minutes apiece. And we'll let you know when you're at 3 minute mark, so you'll have indication when you have a 1 minute left. Mr. Nelson, since you requested additional time, Ms. Nelson, would you like to come up first? That's fine. However you'd like to do it. And again, Ms. Nelson, you don't need to state your name for the record, and you'll have an additional 4 minutes.
Thank you. I didn't hear it, whether I should or shouldn't. So my name is Monique Nelson, and I really don't need 4 minutes. I won't go into more of CAPE. I'll leave that to my husband, David. But I do have more of a question for the EPA. The Morro Bay Power Site is home to several endangered species of plants and animals. And from what I saw on the EPA record for the PSD permit, I didn't see anything one way or another specifically addressing the effects of PM10 on these endangered species. So I'm wondering how the Fish and Game and the EPA could sign off and say there are no impacts when it looks like no studies have ever been made. So I guess my question to the EPA is, have any studies been done specifically for the purpose of studying the effects of PM10 on these endangered species? And if so, where are they in the record? Thanks. That's it.
Thank you again, Ms. Nelson. I appreciate your taking your time tonight. Mr. David Nelson?
Thank you for the extra time. I've been doing this for 7 years, and it's just impossible to bring this much stuff and be able to focus well enough to hit the best points. One of the big points I'd like to make is the absence of our city officials here as city officials. We've heard from Ms. DeMeritt, who is a city official, but she was speaking as herself. The reason for that is that early in this process, our city signed a document waiving any right to come to these meetings and fight for higher standards. Their job in writing by contract is to go along with the power company and the decisions that this board makes. Now, one thing I've figured out over 7 years of doing this, as when you do this to people like you that are working on all kinds of projects, it leaves these big cracks. And the crack is, like I started pointing out earlier, data that's being supplied to you is less than what it should be for your purposes. It was approved by CEC, but it doesn't really apply if you take into consideration your mandate and what is expected from you. So that's what we're expecting from you, and we really are here to work with you and make your job as easy as we can, and that's why we've done all this background search for you, showing you where maybe what the power company has told you might be a little bit tilted and maybe out of whack, and this is our view and our work for over years of doing this. The thing that I need to point out again with our council was that they sold a bill of goods to our city that this was going to be a cleaner power plant, and they had a vote on it saying that it was going to be a smaller, cleaner power plant. And here we are 6 years later, and I'm reading in your own the air impact reports here that your significant emission rate per year, it hits significant at the rate of 15 tons. Now, what we have here is a power plant that's being looked at in light of a 50-year record. I mean, when they figured out the existing power plant, they got to use oil licenses that would never, ever be able to be used today. But because it was grandfathered, they believed for the CEC purposes they could do that. Maybe they could. But for your purposes, this is a total redo of a power plant. And I would hope that you could come up with better numbers than that. I understand that these credits are shifted around, but as a person who lives under these, we should know that, oh, by the way, before we make this a cleaner plant, we get to take all the dirt that we have here, all the emissions that we've put out for 50 years, including oil, then buy credits from another area to bring them in here to make it fit. So what we're talking about here is significant emissions of 15 tons, and they're asking with their own numbers for a 76-ton increase. People have to know that this is really dangerous. This is a serious thing. You know, and I know how many studies are done on particulate matter and what a big thing it is at a statewide level for the air. So we're asking you to come back and go through these and calculate these numbers right, and when you do, the whole scale will tip, because not only particulates going to go up, but so will greenhouse gases like SOs, which they're already 13 tons over on SOs. So we're just asking you to work with us here and make this process work, because I've seen the process. When it works, it really can work, but it takes a lot of effort by people. And there's a lot of people that you don't see in Cape that do a lot of work here. And we have the facts here, and please give it the time that it needs to look at it, because there's no way I can even brief you on what we've put in here. But I hope that you give it validity and start just from the premise that their calculations are off, their methods are off, according to EPA standards, and make them hold up to EPA standards.
Mr. Nelson, thank you for your comments tonight. And again, I'm aware that CAPE has submitted a very extensive written comment, and we appreciate the time and effort that was put into that. And we'll obviously consider those very closely.
Good. Thank you. We look forward to your replies.
Thank you. What I'd like to do is I just want to make one more attempt at calling some of the individuals who we called previously who were not in attendance. There was David Weissman. I don't know if David Weissman has returned. Sandra Brazil. And Kathy Wells. Since no one is here, none of those individuals are here, I'm going to go ahead and conclude this hearing. Any information that you would need to submit written comments, either through fax, email, or through the regular mail, can be found in the lobby. I want to thank everyone for taking time out tonight to come here and provide us with comments. It was a pleasure working with you, and I understand that this is a very serious issue that is very important to the residents of Morro Bay. And that's why we're here. We really appreciate all of you taking the time out to inform us of your thoughts about this project. So I'm going to go ahead and formally conclude this hearing. Thank you and good night.